coast, we all can boast and sing a toast to one who's made a name for being game. He was born with wings as great as any bird that flies, a lucky star guides him afar. Lucky Lindy, up in the sky, fair or windy, he's flying high. Fearless, fearless, knows every cloud.
Back to God's country. Hitching rides in Utah wasn't quite bad in the early 1900s. Even shaggy-looking villainous types would yank me up on the rump of his horse until dropping me off at odd turnoffs. Finally, a kind-bred truck gentleman drew his truck to the side of the road and stopped. "Oh, where are you heading, sonny?" he asked. "Escalante," I stammered. "You got family there?" he queried. "Sure do. My grandfather and grandmother Barney," I said. "Scott and Scytha." "Where are you coming from?" he asked. "You're an awful long way from nowhere." "Richfield," I responded. He replied as he rubbed his disheveled beard. "I bet you's one of them boys trying to bootleg some liquor to Marysville." "Maybe," I admitted, knowing I was out of reach of the law. "Yep, I heard tell your friend Matson boy got caught. He'll go to reform school." "He did?" I said, as my heart began to thump wildly in my chest, knowing full well I could be in Ray's shoes. "Well, you're better off with your folks in Escalante. Mind you, son, the minute you get there, you write your ma. I hear she's worried out of her mind over what's happened to you," he lectured me. On the extensive ride over the dusty roads, I had a long, thoughtful time to look back on the last few months of my life. A whirlwind of memories flickered through my mind. Sometimes grateful, at times sad, and at times hopping mad when I thought of my father. I can't recollect all the memories, but they're a mixture of the following. Grandma Nielsen, hollering at Ma and us most of the time. I realized Grandma was worn out as Ma, with a lifetime of tough toil she'd had throughout her life. "You're raising a bunch of wild ones," Grandma would complain to Ma after Ma arrived home from a long, scorching day, sweating over a hot stove in the cafe. "I'm just trying to keep food on the table," Ma'd defend herself, her face showing pure exhaustion. She placed the much-looked-forward-to lard bucket of warm victuals on our table. This was food the customers at home cafe had left on their plates that we'd all dig into ravenously. "Well," I thought as I rode along, "there's one less mouth for Ma to feed now. I probably ate the most anyways." Ringing in my ears, I could hear Uncle Elmer and Uncle Lauren laying down the law. "Orn'll surely end up in the reformatory where he deserves to be, running around like a hoodlum." Ma'd defend me to them. "You might have ended up a ruffian, too, if you'd been half beat to death when you were growing up. Besides, he keeps us in coal and wood and does all jobs to help with our money needs." "That's true," Grandpa'd say. "He tries to be a man," which always made me feel better. "We had a close bond all of our lives until his passing after I got home from World War II. One day when Freeland and I were uptown, Freeland spied our father on the other side of the street. "Father! Father!" he yelled in excitement, running in his dusty bare feet and tattered overalls towards him. Father whipped around, realized others were watching, and stared down at his son who was hanging on his pants leg and said, "I don't know you. Get along, boy." I pulled Freeland away from our so-called father, tears stinging my anger-filled eyes, and screamed, "We don't know you either!" By the time we arrived in the Escalante Valley, my insides were gnashing at my guts from hunger. I'd undone a loaf of bread, taking tiny bits to alleviate my boyish desire for food. But by the time the bread man opened the boxes of bread up, I had truly made a dent in one of those loaves. The store owner frowned. "So what's been eating this loaf of bread?" he asked, eyeing me up and down. "Oh," the sympathetic gentleman who had been such a tender mercy to me replied, Must be one of those disgusting mice I see every once in a while. I won't charge you for that one. As I scampered off to the Barney clan, utterly relieved, knowing they'd care for me, the man's voice shouted a wise warning to me. And mind you, boy, if you ever get back to Richfield, you stay away from that Madsen crowd. I didn't know for sure whether I was heading back to the hellhole, as my ma called it, or God's country that I longed to be back in. But either way, I was grateful to get out of Sevier County. Well, you're a sight for sore eyes, Grandfather Barney welcomed me. Your mother's been out of her mind with worry, they piped up. I bet you're starving to death, Grandmother Barney said, as she rushed to place a large piece of bread with strawberry jam and a glass of milk on the table in front of me. The next evening, after I'd helped Bay with the chores and had a hearty supper, they said, you're in for a wonderful treat. Father's got some new records for the Grafanola. Have you heard of Lindbergh flying across the ocean? Grandfather asked, a broad grin enveloping his face. Kinda, I replied. It's not a sad song. It's one of the best songs I've heard in years, Grandmother said. Even better than your love songs? Grandfather said as he winked at her. Who's Lindbergh? I asked. Charles Lindbergh, Del piped up, proud to know. He's an American aviator, a flyer. He flew his plane, Spirit of St. Louis, all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, all by himself, all in one go. Sure would like to get up in one of those contraptions, they injected happily. They wrote a song about him because he's a hero. We'll teach you the words. So I learned the words. Lucky Lindbergh flew the ocean. What a flying fool was he. Lucky Lindy riding along. That was one of the happiest summers of my life. I think I'll put you out on the sheep herd, Grandfather said as he thoughtfully rubbed his whiskers. It'll do him a world of good, Grandmother agreed. Sounds like life in Richfield was hard on the whole family. Sure was, I agreed. Especially your poor mother, Grandmother stated sadly. It was a welcome adventure to be out on the open range once again. I'd often picture my Uncle Freeland riding off into the sunset on a black stallion with me by his side. There were so many star-filled nights I was alone with a sheep, the warm airbrush in my face. Once in a while the yapping of a lone coyote on a distant ledge reminded me Escalante was still a wild and treacherous place. I sang a lot when I was out there alone with a sheep, especially sad songs. I must have been drawn to him, as life had dumped so much sorrow on our family. Yet my favorite was Home, Home on the Range, which I belted out to the grazing sheep constantly. Well now, Orin, Grandfather said one afternoon as the bright sun was sitting into the gorgeous sunset of colors, your grandmother and I have talked it over. We think it's time you get back to Richfield to help your mother before the snow flies. And you won't be able to get home. Aw, shucks, Grandfather, I protested. Can't I just stay here and live with you? I promise I'll do anything you want me to. I was choking back a sob forming in my throat. Nope, our minds are made up, he replied. The gruffness in his voice denied how badly he felt about having to send me back to Richfield. They're giving you a big send-off. They whispered to me when I returned to the ranch. Even Nan's going to surprise you with something special. What is it? I probed. Would you want it? I haven't decided yet, they teased, but you're going to be surprised. That night, as the townspeople gathered for an Escalante barbecue, Aunt Nan asked me, would you like to have a new hairdo? She ran her hand through my dark brown dusty hair. I sure could use something. I agreed. This summer heat's been hard on it. Plus, one night I woke up and there was a giant big rat gnawing in my hair. About scared living daylights out of me. Yuck, Vay said as he cringed at the frightening thought. You're spoiling him rotten, Vay complained to Nan the next morning. You never offered me a perm, curled my hair before. Do you want one? Nan replied, giggling. You'd be awful cute. Nah. I don't want to be a cutesy-looking girl, they retorted, stomping hard on the floor. Appalled at the thought, I asked, am I cutesy? No, was Nan's happy reply, and she gave me a mirror to admire my reflection. Goodness, you're a handsome young man. No one in Richfield will know who you are, Grandmother stated happily. The next day, Grandfather and Grandmother took me to the general store. Let's fix this boy up with a new set of duds, Grandfather said. Gratefully, I shed my old work clothes for whatever my grandfather suggested. Let's start with a new pair of leather boots, he said. Make him a size bigger. He's a growing boy. Better put a couple of pair of wool socks in there, too, Grandmother suggested. Can I have a pair, too? They begged. They're mighty smart-looking shoes. They are, I replied excitedly. Let's outfit him from the skin out, they said, sniggering. That blue shirt would look nighty-nifty on me, they said, as he felt the partly wrinkled long sleeve. You're completely decked out in those fancy bib overalls, Grandmother said. I really like all the places to hide treasures in, I replied, sticking my fingers in the various pockets. They outfitted me from head to toe that day, and I walked out of the store feeling like a king. That $150 I spent on you pretty well broke me, Orion, Grandfather said, laughing heartily. I guess there'll be no money for supper's fixings, Grandmother chimed in, smiling. Let's get a picture of him, new hat and all, they exclaimed. Buy your new black two-tone car, Grandfather, I begged. And so it was I returned to Richfield, a very pleased young man.
Rides all alone.